time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show, Minds Over Matter. Your host, Dana Rodriguez, is joined today by author Jerry Nachman and educator Pauline Teichman. And here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, a daddy to his panel tonight, no doubt.
That's right. What game? Oh, is there a game going on? Okay. Welcome to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely weekend. Happy Father's Day, everybody out there, all those who are your fathers or daddies or you know what you are. And happy Father's Day, just the same. And we hope you will join us over the course of the next hour for our show, which is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we need your participation. It's very, very important. That number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134. And we also have a toll-free number, believe it or not, 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. We'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So, 415-841-4134 with a question or answer, or 866-798-8255. Just to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, mindsovermatter at yahoo.com. We don't read the emails while we're doing the show, but they all get read. So that's mindsovermatter at yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear this show online, you can do that anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And David informs me we're having a little trouble getting the podcast up, so maybe, I don't know, tomorrow? Tonight? We'll see. Okay. So within the next day or so, it should be up at of this show. That will also be at kalw.org. Okay, all that being said, we're going to start with a round of introductions, then a round of questions. Here's the first, another of like Cole Porter, Jerry's famous list questions. Here we go. Jerry Nachman lifts a stein today of Dad's old-fashioned root beer to toast Daddy Warbucks, Father O'Malley, Pop Warner, Pappy Waldorf, and Oh Mine Papa.
Very well done, all Dana. Right. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Pauline Teichman's mind is on the serious matter tonight of the NBA Finals. Go Warriors!
Thank you.
Warriors, I call them.
Yes. Dub Nation. Okay. And to my left, the father of this unruly child that is Minds Over Matter, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
That's right. All right. All that being said, we'll start with Jerry Nachman.
Okay. Well, men in America, and maybe around the world, wore pocket watches, and women wore wristwatches, until 1919, and suddenly men began to wear wristwatches. They suddenly became famous, popular among men, by a ratio of about 50 to 1. What caused the sudden changeover?
1919?
Yeah.
So it has something to do with the end of the war or something.
It's possible. Does it have anything to do with World War One?
I don't answer any questions.
I'm sure it does.
I'm sure it does.
Well, they would issue wristwatches to officers during the war. I remember my great uncle who was an artillery officer in World War One had a wristwatch that was issued to him by the Army. Did anything to do with that?
I can't answer that. I ask the questions here.
Well,
does it have any bearing on the questions?
It might.
Okay. All right.
I take that as a yes.
So I'll say something about soldiers returning home with the watches that were issued.
That's the reason.
Okay.
Exactly.
There we go.
All right. Following,
you
get credit for that.
You squeeze that out of me.
All right.
Just for that, I'm going to ask another question.
All right, do that.
That you won't be able to get the answer to. Okay, Ernie Heckscher was the band leader for many years at the Venetian Room of the Fairmont. Who replaced him when he retired?
Dick Bride.
Yes.
I was a Dick Bride Orchestra.
Excellent.
Because
excellent.
I was a bellman at the Fairmont for
that's
a year.
That's right. Oh. I wouldn't have asked him.
Although Dick Bride was after him, way after my time. Ernie Heckscher was there when I was there.
Probably in the 80s, I think.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay.
So.
Okay.
I'm done.
All right.
As Sparky would say.
Okay. So, let's read this. A full-page advertisement in the newspaper Hollywood Reporter read, "Buenas noches, amigo." Who was it referencing and who paid for it?
This is recently, right?
No.
Oh, not? No. Oh, it isn't. Oh. I thought it might have had something to do with the Pulse shooting.
Saying goodbye to somebody who had died, who was in the movie business and who was Latino.
Who is it?
Not Latino?
No.
Who is it said for or who said it?
You need to give me both. Who said it and who it was for.
Oh.
This dates back.
Buenas noches, amigo. Well, would that be Leo Carrillo said that one?
Yeah, I was going to say Gilbert Roland.
When Pancho died?
Yeah.
No?
No.
Thomas Gomez?
Well, could you give us an idea of the time frame?
I would say, let's see. Definitely not recent. I would say
20s, 30s?
No, later than that.
Okay.
All right.
Later than that.
All right. Read the question once more, if you would.
A full-page advertisement in the newspaper Hollywood Reporter read, "Buenas noches, amigo." Who was it for and who was it honoring and who paid for it?
All right.
And they were both, obviously...
they were both well-known.
Showbiz figures.
Yes.
Was amigo the nickname of the person who they're referring to? Okay.
They're both movie stars, I take it. Okay.
All right.
Both stars.
And let's go to a call.
Actors.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Garrett from Hayward.
Hello.
Got two related questions.
Mm-hmm.
First one, what was the first ABC series to be broadcast in color?
The first ABC series to be broadcast in color.
The Wonderful World of Color with Walt Disney.
Well,
that's not a good guess. It.
Oh.
What was the genre of the series?
It was an animated series.
Oh.
A what series?
An animated series.
Yeah.
Primetime?
Yes.
Ooh, the Jetsons?
Yes, yeah. Give us a
Meet the Jetsons.
Oh, I think of them as being in black and white. Yeah.
No, yeah. That's because we had a black and white TV at the time.
That's right.
Question.
Yes.
Which two members of the voiceover cast of the Jetsons appeared on I Love Lucy? I'll give you a clue. One of them died just last Monday.
The one who played the mother.
The one who died last Monday was the one that played the daughter.
Daughter.
Yes.
Judy.
But I can't think of her name. I read the old bit, but I can't think of her name.
Too.
I bet George O'Hanlon was.
Yes, he played Charlie Appleby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, the one was Janet Waldo.
All right.
Corliss Archer.
Okay.
Oh, that's right, Janet Waldo.
Meet
course.
Corliss Archer.
Oh, I remember that.
Jerry remembers Meet Corliss
Archer.
Well,
that's a great radio show. Yeah, Janet Waldo, yeah.
Yeah,
I never watched the Jetsons once.
The Jetsons.
I really didn't either. Yeah. Was that it? Did we get it?
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Janet Waldo, yes. A word in remembrance.
Uh-huh.
Great radio star.
All right, let's see. Let me do a couple questions here. What political word was the most looked up word of 2015 on Merriam-Webster?
Islam.
It's a pretty good guess, yeah, but no.
Or Islamic. No.
So what political word was the most looked up word in general of 2015 on Merriam-Webster?
Is this kind of a vogue word, or is it just a word that's been around?
It's a word that's been around for quite a while, yeah.
And, of course, it was tied to some event.
Right.
So was he on the right track with what he said in terms
Islam?
Of... Islam? Well, somewhat.
No, not at all related. No.
Political.
Yeah, it's political. So what political word was the most looked up word in general of 2015 on Merriam-Webster?
Can you give us a little bit of a hint? Because there's a lot of political...
Well, I already told you a political
hundreds
word.
Hundreds of political words, you know.
It's a... I'm trying to think.
Or the event that it was...
It's related to the presidential campaign.
That's okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, I don't know.
And second question. Who was the first president to ride in an automobile and why? What were the circumstances?
Was that a funeral cortege?
No. Who was the first president to ride in an automobile and what were the circumstances?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It'd just be a bad guess. I can't even make a bad guess.
All right. So once more, what political word was the most looked up word in general of 2015 on Merriam-Webster online, you know, their dictionary online? And it's part of the presidential campaign, and it's not a new word by any chance, by any means. And secondly, who was the first president to ride in an automobile, and what were the circumstances? And
the Muni was out of commission.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is Herb in Ashland, Oregon.
Hi, Herb.
Is that political word filibuster?
It is not.
Okay.
Good
and
guess.
The first president to ride in the car, was it Teddy Roosevelt?
It was not.
Okay. Now, I have a question related to Father's Day.
Okay.
Who are the only two father and son combinations, both of whom won the Medal of Honor? The nation's highest military award.
Well, Douglas MacArthur and his father both won.
Correct.
One in the Civil War and one in World War I, I think.
Yeah,
it?
Arthur MacArthur Jr. Was a hero at Missionary Ridge right. In 1863 at age 18. And of course, we know who his son was.
Right.
Five-star General Douglas MacArthur. Who was the other name?
Oh boy, that's a lot tougher.
I'll give you a big hint. It's another famous name.
Yes, I know who it is. It's Theodore Roosevelt and Theodore Roosevelt Jr.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Theodore Roosevelt Jr. for his actions at on D-Day, I think, right?
Yes, it was. It was Utah Beach. He led a regiment in.
Yeah, he was
a brigadier general.
Brigadier general, right.
And he died only 5 weeks later.
Right, and then of course his father for his actions during the Spanish-American War and
San Juan Hill, 1898.
Right.
Correct.
Thank you.
That does it for me.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
Hello. All right, Pauline, your question. Buenos noches, amigo.
Mm-hmm.
That was regarding William Frawley.
Yes, it was.
And was paid for by
Desi Arnaz.
Absolutely.
Oh,
good job.
Very good.
Now, a follow-up question to that is, Vivian Vance was in a restaurant when she heard the news. How did she react to it?
She didn't like it very much. I know that. They didn't
That's
get
along. Right.
So did she order a drink and...
Ordered champagne for everybody.
Really?
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I don't believe that.
Seems to be
a
lot of that going on these days.
She didn't like him professionally, but she wouldn't. I don't care. That's hard to imagine.
I don't know.
That's a good story anyway.
It may not be true.
Yeah.
But it makes a good story.
It does.
For a good story. And are you recording the game, Pauline?
No, unfortunately not. I'm trying to.
Please keep up.
Trying to keep up.
Okay, I won't tell you then.
Okay, right. tell us.
No, tell us.
Don't?
Yeah, no, do tell us.
Do tell
us.
Do tell. All right, Cleveland just put in a shot. They are up 83-80 and 7 minutes to go.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, wow, it's close.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's very close. Bye.
Thanks very
Bye.
Much.
Thanks.
Call us back and tell us the outcome.
And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, when Bill Graham opened the Fillmore in 1965, what was the featured act on the bill? I'll give you two guesses each.
Is it a band or an individual singer?
It's a band.
Okay.
Oh, is it
65.
Like with Jorma Kaukonen and all that?
Who?
Jorma Kaukonen. I can't say his name right, but
I've never heard of it.
Oh, my God, super well-known.
Really?
Not super well-known.
Oh, yeah, he was like anybody who's like into the dead.
Have you ever heard of this?
The Grateful Dead and
Norman?
Jorma, J-O-R-M-A.
I never heard of him, but I'm not exactly a rock expert.
Okay, is this a band that we...
Oh, yeah, very famous.
Really? Okay.
Maybe not then, but...
Oh, maybe not.
Well, I don't know. It probably was famous then.
It wasn't like Janis Joplin and Big Brother and the Holy.
No, Book. It wasn't. That's a good guess, but no.
65.
You said 65?
Yeah.
But and it's a very well-known band.
So was it Jefferson Airplane already then or not?
Yes. Say it again.
Jefferson Airplane.
Jefferson Airplane is it.
Oh,
woo-hoo!
All right.
Very good.
All right.
Very good. Okay.
All right.
Okay, one more.
If only it had been Phil Spitalamy, you would have.
I'm not quite that out of it. What was the? Okay, this is a kind of a two-part. What was the original name of Cheerios, and what cereal began as Washburn's Gold Medal Whole Wheat Flakes?
Whole Wheat Flakes, is that like Quaker Oats or something?
No, those are not flakes.
Oh, they're
oats.
Not. Okay, I don't know.
The original name of Cheerios was Cheery Oats.
That's right.
Oh, okay, that's right.
And I actually am old enough to remember that.
Really? Well, you should have kept
a
box.
I think I do, but I may just be... Okay, so what cereal began life as Washburn's Gold Medal Whole Wheat Flakes?
For that I don't know.
Gold Medal Whole Wheat. Uh-huh.
And a kind of a third part, and who is the first athlete features on a Wheaties box?
Oh, I will not say, because I've heard that before.
So. Oh, you do? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
First.
And?
Okay, so what cereal began as Washburn's Gold Medal Whole Wheat Flakes in 1922, and who is the first athlete featured on a Wheaties box?
And I should say that the athlete featured, whose name I won't give, was featured on the back of the box, not the front of the box.
That's a very good knowledge, yes.
Yes.
Excellent, yes. And I was going to throw that in.
Do you have a box?
Oh, okay.
You did
no.
it for me.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
It's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
Is that political word you're looking for socialism?
It is socialism.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, yes. Of course.
There you go.
Yes.
And I have a geographical question for you.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
And you're going to want to write this down.
Okay.
I'm going to give you five groups of three names.
Five groups of three names.
Yeah. First group, California, Colorado, Arizona.
Wait a minute. Going too fast. Okay.
You can abbreviate.
Okay, I am.
All right.
It's still too fast.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Second group is Arkansas, Mississippi.
Two Mississippis?
One Mississippi, two Mississippi.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Third
go
group
ahead.
Is Indiana, Ohio.
It's already too complicated.
Uh-huh.
Kentucky.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fourth group, Vermont, Connecticut, New Hampshire. Last group is North Dakota, Red. Minnesota.
North Dakota, what's that?
Red?
Red.
You mean that's a separate word. So North Dakota is one, red is two, and Minnesota is three?
Correct. Hmm. What's the significance of the order?
Of all these groups together?
Yes. Well, each group separately.
Oh, okay.
All the same significance in each group.
Too complicated for me. Take it, Dana.
Same thing to do with rivers?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. Well, California, Colorado, and
so the direction of the river, Colorado.
There's no rivers.
Oh no, it's the river. The river's in the middle. So the Colorado River is that the river?
You just can't beat Daddy Rodriguez.
California and California, Arizona are served by the Colorado River.
Yes.
Arkansas and Mississippi are served by the Missouri River.
Oh.
Indiana and Kentucky are served by the Ohio River. Connecticut River for Vermont and New Hampshire. And then the Red River for North Dakota and Minnesota.
Wow.
The river forms the border between the two states.
Okay, all
the
right.
The river runs through it.
Where's the Red River? I thought that was in Texas or somewhere.
That's the movie.
Red River of the North.
Red River of the North. There you go.
Very good.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And Pauline, it's your turn.
Okay, so I have a question that has two parts, and you need to answer both parts to answer. Don't answer if you only have one. Okay, so name this song by Steve Allen that became somewhat of a personal theme song for him, and also name the singer.
Steve Allen?
Yes, and also name the singer who sang it on I've Got a Secret. I think I've got a secret.
Well,
a secret.
His big song was, this could be the start of something big.
But you need to say both parts. I said,
well, okay,
both
is that
parts.
Part right?
I'm not answering. You need
okay.
to give both
well,
parts.
Well, Steve Lawrence was, though. Didn't Steve Lawrence make a hit out of that?
Edie Gourmet.
Or Edie Gourmet?
Both of, I think it was a duet, actually. And what was
but
the second,
person who
what
sang
was the
it,
second part before you start?
The person
down?
Who sang it on I've Got a Secret. Or wait, was it I've Got? No, To Tell the Truth, sorry, I think. I think
Edie
I wrote
Gourmet.
It down wrong.
Edie Gourmet.
No.
Steve so Steve the person Martin. That sang it on
To Tell the Truth,
to tell the truth was is this person not normally thought of as a singer?
No, they're thought of as a singer.
And it's neither Gourmet or Lawrence.
No, it's no. Both of whom did sing the song, but no.
Well, they
no.
introduced it, I think.
Neither of them are the ones who sang it on To Tell the Truth.
There so, is some significance to the fact that she sang this?
Well, I'm just thinking about why it would be on To Tell the Truth. So,
Oh, Jane Meadows.
Nope.
Okay.
It would have to be somebody to. Yeah.
Is there some significance to the fact that she sang it, or just?
I just no. happened to be watching, and I saw this person, and it made me look her up and look up other things about her.
Well,
and
they just
to this
they, question. They, yeah, but they attempted a revival of To Tell the Truth last week.
Oh,
did
yeah, I heard
that?
About
yeah.
that. But you're talking about the old one, I'm
the
assuming.
The old one. Yeah, yeah, the new one was horrible. Oh, my God, I watched that.
But it would have to be somebody you couldn't identify right away who was on To Tell the Truth. Because, you know, it's three mm-hmm. people and
exactly.
you're supposed
well,
to
figure out
who.
Well, it depends what the secret is.
No. That's you, I've Got a Secret.
No,
that's
you
different.
Get, yeah.
To tell
well, it's the same. Okay, it's not a secret.
Yeah,
it's not exactly the same premise.
You're not
right.
supposed to know who this person
you
is
see
right
the person.
Away. You see the person, but you don't really know who they are.
So
there.
You hear their voice singing it, and you don't know.
No, she sang afterwards.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I don't know. Peggy Lee.
Nope.
Well-known singer like that?
Not as well-known.
Of the era?
No, in fact, I was not familiar with the singer until I saw this.
Oh,
Yuma Sumac.
So an obscure no. singer of this of what era? The 60s,
well,
70s?
Probably the 60s, early 60s.
And you never had heard of her.
I had not.
Well, I'm sure we have.
And I'll be surprised if
but
the
I'm
audience
sure,
has.
I'm sure you guys have. Okay. I'm sure you guys have.
Okay.
Joni James.
No.
Patti Page.
Huh. Okay. Leave it out.
Jill Corey.
She was part of a group.
Oh,
it
part
way.
Of a group.
Oh,
wow.
Group. Oh.
Paula Kelly and the Modernaires.
Yeah.
Part of a group.
It's not like somebody like Diana Ross, is it?
No,
that's too early.
Is it somebody who is before she became well known? Or he or she became
well,
well
she
known?
Never
she,
heard
it
of
is
her.
She, but.
She said she never heard of her. So.
I think this was at the height of. Well, she was in other things. She was in other things after.
It was the height of this person's career?
No, I don't. Not necessarily.
Well, Pauline had said.
So you go on a show where nobody can identify you and it's the height of your career?
She said she never heard of her, so she wouldn't
have
heard of her.
Okay.
I had not, but then when I looked her up and when I. I definitely
okay.
had seen these things, some of these things.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, so I have one question for you, which is, what is the only country in the world where divorce is illegal?
Egypt.
No. By far. Actually, you know, most people don't know, Egypt is very secular, that's why they're beating the hell out of this.
Well,
so are we going to consider the Vatican?
No. It's actually a hard to think. Egypt is very, you know, look at women, how they dress in Egypt in the 30s and 40s.
Is it the Philippines?
It is a Christian country. It is a Christian country.
Is it the Philippines?
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. All right. I've heard about that.
Wow.
How did you... Yeah, Philippines.
I think I asked that question.
So what do you do to divorce your wife? You kill her? Okay. One other question is, how many people died in the Vietnam War? How many Americans were killed in the Vietnam War?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's in the 50,000s or something.
Very good. 58,000. How about the Korean?
No. Again, probably...
Very close.
Yeah,
about that,
in the 50,000s, yeah. Probably.
54,000.
All right.
So I'd just like to make a comment that Davis was kind, who died actually very shortly after he made the comment about Ali, was wrong, because we'd have lost that man.
All right.
And I was part of the group that was involved in the FSM movement at Berkeley.
All right. And let's see.
That was quick.
Yeah, that was quick. If you'd like to join us, you're listening to Minds Over Matter, by the way. If you'd like to join us, the number is area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Our panel tonight, well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman, though I call him Gerald, and teacher and photographer Pauline Teichman. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. I think it's my turn. So, okay. This is a survey done by, I think it was Parents Magazine about 2 years ago. And so what they did was they asked adults if you could live in a place or a town or a place from a children's book, what would it be?
Okay.
So there are seven. I have seven of the answers. So in a survey that was done, I think it's Parents Magazine, they asked adults if they could live in a place or a town from a children's book, what would that place be? So there are seven answers to this.
Neverland.
Neverland is one. So that's your answer.
Okay. There you go. I only get one?
Well, right now, yeah.
How about the Alps, like for Heidi or something?
No, I'll give you another guess because that wasn't very good. No, these are all places from children's books. You know, I mean, they could be made up places. Basically.
Well, that's Heidi's a children's book.
Well, that's the Alps is a real place.
So it's made up places.
These are made up places.
Okay, so where did Pippi Longstockings live?
One is from a TV show, and the rest are from books.
TV show.
Yeah.
Pauline.
So, from a survey done by Parents Magazine, they asked...
I'm sure that's right.
What place or town from a children's book or sub-children's program would you like to most live?
A place or town.
Right. And there are seven answers, and one is Neverland.
So, children's program could... Oh, wait. Could... I'm thinking like Romper Room or something. But
No, it's a, I mean, you know, you know what I mean. Town. Like Neverland. Well, Neverland is a good example.
Neverland's a great example.
He
has another one, but I don't want to give his. I want to come up with my
own. All right. Well, think it over. So once more, a survey done by Parents Magazine, I think.
When was the survey?
What?
When was the survey?
Oh, it's within the last 2 years.
Okay.
What were the seven places or towns from children's books that adults would have most liked to live?
And is the TV show a children's show?
Yes. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134, or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Billy Roberto.
Hi, Billy.
Hi. The children's places?
Yes.
Scary Town or Richard Scarry?
No.
How about the Dark Green Room?
No.
Oh, okay. The President?
Yes.
Taft?
No.
Okay. I'm batting. That's all I got. But I got a question for you.
All right.
Since we're talking about Dick Bright.
Right.
Strangely enough, with the this trial going on in L.A. with Led Zeppelin...
Mm-hmm. Yes, Stairway to Heaven, lawsuit.
What happened to Dick Bright with Led Zeppelin?
Oh.
He was a member of a group.
Dick Bright was a member of a rock group, you mean?
Yeah, it's maybe not rock group, but, sort of, they played rock and roll, but,
Was it like a Led Zeppelin cover band or something?
No.
What is the lawsuit about? I didn't read it.
That's what he's asking.
The lawsuit is...
Oh, the lawsuit. Oh, it was a plagiarism of Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, I don't know the connection.
Well, he was a member of a group called Little Roger and the Goosebumps.
Oh.
And they put
my favorite group.
Words to Gilligan Islands to Stairway to Heaven.
Ah. Uh-huh.
And Led Zeppelin didn't take kindly to it whatsoever.
No.
I can imagine.
And they issued a cease and desist. They had to pull all the records off. Yeah.
All right.
It's pretty amazing. Okay, that's all I got.
Thank you, Billy.
Thanks.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, let's stick with popular music.
Okay.
I have three related questions. This is Stephen in San Francisco.
Hello.
The first one is, according to the BBC, who is the best-selling songwriter in history? Now, this is not the song, but a songwriter.
Irving Berlin?
No.
Cole Porter?
You have to think more current.
More current, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Paul McCartney.
You got it.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. If pushed, what song does he consider to be his best? You know, everybody, you love all your children the same, but if pushed, what song did he consider to be his best?
Oh, I don't know. Yesterday?
No.
Don't know.
It's just a...
Can I leave that out?
Yeah, okay, leave it out.
All right. Now, also, what's his middle name?
Oh. Good question.
Gosh.
I don't know. Aloysius.
That I don't know. Actually, that's a good question to leave out as well.
Okay.
Let's do that.
And then I'll just say that yesterday was his birthday, so it's a timely
Sir Paul.
So is he 70 what?
Four.
74.
Four?
74.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Do you want us to put you on hold and then you can give the answers?
Yes.
All right. We'll do that. Thanks. And in the meantime, Jerry, I think it's your turn.
Okay. What two songs and every Beach Blanket Babylon show?
End? Okay, two songs that end.
Gosh, it's been so many years since I've seen that show.
I know.
I was hoping for that.
I feel like I Left My Heart in San Francisco should be somewhere there because it's such a San Francisco
Well,
show.
They're doing the... It's Wizard of Oz kind of take off, isn't it?
Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Well, they've been singing this since it began, I think.
Right.
I have not seen one it is, in like one is, over 25
one I,
years.
One I would have guessed. The other I wouldn't have.
Is San Francisco one of the songs?
Yes, that's one of them, yes.
Well, that makes sense.
The other one's much harder to get, but we all know it.
We all know it?
Yeah.
Is it somehow related to San Francisco or the Bay Area?
No, it's one of the. It's kind of a campy song that you would expect they would sing.
Campy, yeah. Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there, it's Tom in Oakland.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. How about take a guess at Town and Children's Books?
Yes.
About Narnia?
Oh.
No, but you got the right idea. And it could be a town or it could be a place. So just to give you a, you know, that kind of
place. Yeah, the only other guess I would have would be Candyland.
No.
Which I don't know if that's in a book, but I'd love to live there. Let's see. In the first president of car, how about McKinley?
Yes, it was McKinley. Why was he in that car?
It was because he was shot.
That's exactly right. He was in an ambulance taking him to the hospital after he was shot.
Oh, what a great question. Oh, great question.
Yes.
And let's
Very
see, I got
good.
A couple of Best Picture Oscar questions.
Okay.
What's the only nominated Best Oscar film which is no longer in existence? Nobody has a copy of.
Well, I would be surprised if there wasn't more than one, though maybe you have that in front of you, so I should defer to you. But
yeah, but what I've read, there's only one. There's no complete.
There's a Lubitsch film called The Patriot.
That's it.
Which I'd love to see, but it's no longer in existence.
Portions of it available, I guess.
I saw the trailer for it on YouTube. But yeah, it sounds very interesting. But yes, that's the only one I can think of.
Yeah, and then what was the lowest grossing Best Picture?
Ever?
Ooh. Lowest grossing major picture.
Best Picture winner.
Oh, Best Picture winner.
So is this like adjusted for inflation? Like, you know, if I were to say a picture in 1929 versus a picture in 2010 or something.
Yeah, I'd say adjust. I'd say, I don't know for sure. I would say it was adjusted for inflation, though, especially considering how many, you know, people went to movies a lot more in the 20s and 30s.
Right.
And,
can you tell us what decade it's in, or was that give it away, do you feel?
It's recent. So
yeah.
It's after 2000.
So how about Crash?
No.
How about the Shakespeare in Love?
Yeah.
No.
Like,
no, that was before 2000, but I think that one actually did well.
How about the Hurt Locker?
Yeah, it was the Hurt Locker.
Ah, all right.
Why did you guess that?
I thought it was something recent that I maybe I've heard.
Okay.
So
yeah, recent and probably not a
Yeah, not a big crowd.
People don't would go to.
Not a very upbeat thing.
See a movie about bomb. Yeah.
Yeah.
People just bomb disposal. All right. Thank you very much.
Cool. Thanks a bunch.
Okay.
Not a big crowd. People don't go to.
And
did I already guess Oz is a place where people like a children's book place?
Sure.
No, but more specific.
Oz would definitely be.
Okay. The Emerald.
The Emerald City. Yes, I'll give that to you. That's one of them. Very good. Okay. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m., so I hope you're enjoying the show. We are a little past halfway, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Jerry, what do you have?
Well, okay. What two songs end every Beach Blanket Babylon show? Dana got one of them, which is San Francisco. And what was what cereal began as what well-known cereal still around? Began as Washburn's Gold Medal Whole Wheat Flakes in 1922. And who was the first athlete featured on a Wheaties box?
Mm. On the back.
On the back.
Okay.
Pauline?
And the only question I've got, they already guessed the Steve Allen song, but who sang it on To Tell the Truth? So it was named this song by Steve Allen that became somewhat of a personal theme song, so they already guessed the name. This could be the start of something big. And
do
want
we
to see
ask
it.
You whether
the I would title be astonished if anybody gets the answer to that.
Really?
To tell the well, I mean,
if somebody was watching To Tell the Truth, like I was the
well,
other day.
Well, yeah, but does the singer have anything to do with the song title?
No.
Okay.
All right. The singer have anything to do with Steve Allen? Really?
I guess Jane Meadows. I thought that was a pretty good guess.
That was a good guess.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
She was part of a group, and she came on solo, but she sang it with the group.
All right.
On the show.
So, in a survey done by Parents Magazine, they asked what place or town from a children's either book or television show would you most like to live? So they're asking adults this. So far, we have Neverland and the Emerald City. What are the others? There are seven on the list. Okay.
Could it be like Mulberry Street, like from Dr. Seuss? And
no, but that's a good
Street.
Guess. But no, okay. Not that. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
How about Hogwarts?
No.
That's a great place to live.
It probably
yes.
is.
To live there.
Great place to go to school.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Oh, thank you. Pauline, I think it's your turn.
Okay. So I'm going to give you some names, and these are literary characters. I think all children's book, actually. And I want you to tell me what name they're better known, or not better known as. What,
book
well,
reference.
Okay. So like, yeah. So Mad-Eye Moody. I'm going to ask just the first.
No, wait, I want to tell us what you want from this.
Because it's different for different ones. Like in this case, Mad-Eye Moody, I want his first name. In this case, Farley Drexel Hatcher, I want to know what name he's better known as.
So it's different for everyone?
Well, they're one of those two. They're one of those two. They're either the so Encyclopedia Brown, what's the actual first name?
Right.
Sticky Washington, what's the actual first name? And then what's the better known name of Oscar Zoroaster, Frederick Isaac Norman Henkel Emmanuel Ambroise Diggs, and Ted Shackelford is better known by what name? So these are all
Ted Shackelford. That was on Knott's Landing. He's an actor.
These are all.
That was an actor, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Ted Shackelford.
Children's books.
Okay, all right.
These are very contemporary books because I never heard of any of them.
Oh no.
Yeah.
They aren't.
No.
Jerry's strictly the Henry Huggins.
I love.
Who's that?
Henry Huggins, the children's. Oh.
Beverly Cleary.
Beverly Cleary.
Never heard of it.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
The Yellow Kid, maybe. How about that?
I do know who that was.
But all right.
That wasn't a book, was it?
No. Uh-huh. And let's go to a call.
Comic strip.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. In the movie, I got a question for you. In the movie Casablanca, when Rick Humphrey Bogart first appears in the movie, he's sitting alone at a table studying a chess position. What is the name of the chess position?
Oh, God.
And how is it symbolic in two ways?
He's studying what?
He's studying a chess position. Oh, jeez.
This is great. I have a friend who's a Casablanca.
How is it symbolic in two ways? One of the ways is symbolic if you know what the position is.
Hmm. Unfortunately, I do not. Well, I know Bogart was a big chess
player. I have a friend who's a Casablanca freak and knows pretty much everything.
So
I'm going to ask him that.
Does the chess position have a real bearing on the film itself? Would you say?
A very clear one, yeah. If you know what the position is called, it's an opening position. All openings have names.
Right.
If you know the name of the position, the symbolism of that position is immediately obvious.
Like something to Queen Gambit or something, I don't know.
No. I'm afraid I don't. I have no idea.
I don't know chess. Hey.
Yeah.
You want to know the answer then?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. He's studying the French defense. He's studying it from the French side, which is the black pieces. And the second piece of its symbolism is when he reaches to take the letters of transit from Ugarte, he accidentally knocks over the black king, his king in the position. And that is a traditional way of resigning in chess. It means I lost.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Jerry's writing this down.
Yeah, because I have a friend. I told you. If he gets this, he's an all-time winning.
Thank you very much for the question.
Trivia champ.
All right. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Robert and Karen in Bernal Heights.
Hi.
Karen asks if Pauline can repeat her last question about characters from children's books more slowly.
Oh, sure. So I'm going to try to ask the ones that are the actual first names first in order so that it makes more sense. So Mad-Eye Moody, Encyclopedia Brown, Sticky Washington, and then the other ones are what other names are they best known as? So Farley Drexel Hatcher, Oscar Zoroaster Fadrig, Isaac Norman, Henkel Emanuel Ambroise Diggs, and Ted Shackelford.
Have you heard of any of these names?
Nope. Encyclopedia Brown I've heard of.
Karen had an idea that Dickie Washington was somehow connected to the Pied Piper of Hamelin, but...
I know, it's Sticky Washington.
Sticky. Oh, that's altogether different.
Now that one's from a fairly contemporary children's book. The other ones are older, I think.
So as far as locations from children's books, where adults might like to live, how about the Thousand Acre Wood from Winnie the Pooh?
Yes, it's a 100-acre wood, actually.
100-acre wood.
But you...
Some acres.
Yes.
There's acreage there.
100-acre wood. Yes, that's one.
How about wherever Wrinkle in Time takes place when they wrinkle?
Oh, that's a good guess. But no, not that, though.
And what about Pee-wee's Playhouse? That would be where I would go.
That also a good guess, but no.
All right. So I have a question for you.
All right.
So I found two lists, one of per capita the most religious places per U.S. city. So cities with the most religious venues per capita.
Is this by active church going? Is that how they do it, or how do they?
It's most places of worship per resident.
Okay.
How about Salt Lake City?
So that's not the question.
Okay.
The other list is percent of the residents who are religiously unaffiliated, and these are each top 20 lists. But there are three places in the top 10 of each, so they have the most places of worship and the most. People who are religiously unaffiliated within their top 10.
Oh, so they have both in the same place.
Right.
Okay.
In the same state?
In the same city.
Oh, same city. Oh, now I'm puzzled.
So Narnia, for instance, right. has the most places of worship per capita, as well as the most people who don't affiliate with any religion per capita.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Where?
Well, I said Narnia, but that's not the real
story. Where was the country?
No.
That was a made-up one.
Using it as an example.
Oh, Narnia. Okay.
How
so, in the U.S., do you have any guesses as to which cities might fit in?
And we're not talking per capita. Are we talking per capita?
They're both per capita.
Okay.
For instance, Los Angeles?
Los Angeles is actually in the top 20 in both.
How about New York?
New York is in the top 20 in both.
Okay.
These are cities, so they're
U.S. cities, right?
You know their names.
U.S.
You are all U.S. cities.
Chicago.
Chicago, I think, is in the top 20 for both, but none of the cities you've named are in the top 10.
Right.
For both.
San Francisco.
San Francisco is in the top 20 for both.
All right.
So we will have gotten the 11 through 20.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. You're mowing those down.
Are these cities east or west of the Mississippi?
Those, the three that are in the top 10 for both, One is east, one is west, and one is in the middle, I think. Yeah, east. two are east and one is west.
Is, for instance, one in, say, Houston or something like that?
No, none in the south.
None in the south. Okay, that makes sense, I guess.
You want me to tell you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Misery?
Yeah.
So Seattle is number two in both categories.
Wow.
All right.
Columbus, Ohio, and then Boston is in both categories, surprisingly.
Huh.
Do you want to guess as the top religious, most places of worship and the top least affiliated population, neither of which overlap with the other list?
Hmm.
We don't know.
Vermont. I always want to say Vermont for the least. I think I read that someplace. It was the least religious state.
Think of other places that you might put in the same list as Vermont.
Yeah.
New Hampshire.
No, cities.
Burlington, Vermont. No, you better tell us.
Portland, Oregon.
Portland, yeah. All right.
Indianapolis for most.
Oh, that's okay. Well, yeah.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Al.
And let's see. Oh, this, I think it's my turn. All right. Rather than give you a list question, I'll give you two small questions. We'll do it that way. All right. Who was the... All right. What is the official flower of San Francisco?
Azalea.
Oh, very good. How'd you know that?
Because I have a San Francisco trivia book.
Oh, all right. All right.
And I think I've asked it as well.
Oh, did you? Okay. All right. We'll skip to something else. Who was the first president to write an autobiography? And who was the last president not to write an autobiography? And when I say who was the last president not to write an autobiography, I'm discounting anybody that died in office, you know, like Roosevelt or Harding or Kennedy. So who was the first president to write an autobiography, and who was the last president not to write an autobiography? And I'm discounting anybody that died in office. Okay.
So the last president to write an autobiography.
Not to write an autobiography.
That's the question.
So who was the last president not to write an autobiography?
Who was not killed in office.
Who did not die in office.
Not die in office. Okay.
Right. And... And who was the first president to
Harry Truman.
No, he wrote a couple.
Yeah. Did he?
Yeah. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
Did someone just say something about tulips?
Did we?
No, you asked what the San Francisco...
Dahlia.
San Francisco flower was, and right. I said,
Black Dahlia.
Okay, I just wanted to tell you, Dana, that in May, I saw The Patriot listed on TCM, Turner Classic Movies.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't see it because I didn't...
No, it's the Mel Gibson one. It's not the Lubitsch one. Because I saw that it was on TCM. It's that one that about the Revolutionary War that Mel Gibson did about, I don't know, 15 years ago or something.
I thought it said 30-something.
No.
Okay. The Beach Blanket Babylon thing, is that There's No Business Like Show Business?
No, that's a good guess, no.
What about that Washburn cereal?
Yeah.
Is that Wheaties?
It is Wheaties.
Good job.
Very good.
And what about in the children's realm of living, Sherwood Forest?
That's a good guess. No, not Sherwood Forest.
Okay, and then I have one question for you guys.
Yes.
They used a distasteful word. I'm using mucus instead of the word they used. But basically, what is the average amount of mucus swallowed by a person per day?
Gross.
Please.
A day?
Yeah. So, you know, you have to be kind to me because I'm using a better word. So is it one cup, half a pint, pint, or a quart?
I don't even want to think about this.
Let's go in between.
I thought you were a man of culture, Thomas.
I'll say a pint.
It's a quart.
Wow.
A quart. Well, that makes sense because it's always there.
We're full of stuff.
Gross.
Yeah. Okay. Good night.
Thank you, Thomas.
That's the weirdest question of the evening.
No, I don't know.
That was
we've had weirder.
For, A bell for weird question. Yeah.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. And if you'd like to get in on this and ask us a question or answer one of them, it's 415-841-4134. 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on. Go ahead, please.
Oh, I thought I was the next. So we've been watching old episodes of To Tell the Truth.
Oh, yes. There you go.
And Yolande Bavan.
Exactly.
Was on in her full native
Yolande dress.
Who?
Yolande Bavan.
Never heard of her.
Never heard of her.
Nobody's ever heard of her.
She was part of Lambert, Hendricks, and Bavan. No, but she was in things that you would have seen, like a couple of movies. She did a song for a few movies, like one.
And the group was Lambert, Hendricks.
I might have known
them. I've heard of them, but...
you'd bring some...
Well, she was the Bavan of Lambert, Hendricks,
Frenchie
and Bavan.
Into this.
No, she's not at all a Frenchie.
Oh, she's not?
Oh, no, she's Sri Lankan.
I think that children might want to live on Sesame Street.
You know, it's a very good guess, and I would have guessed that myself, but it's not on that list, no.
And our guest for president who did not write a biography, Johnson?
Autobiography. No, he did write one.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right, that's all.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hi, this is Greg in Alameda.
Hi, Greg.
So I have a guess on a couple of children's book places. How about... Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory.
No.
Oh, that's a good one.
No, nope.
Thought of that too. But,
who doesn't want to live in a chocolate factory?
Yeah.
Come on.
And then for the TV show, how about Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood?
Yes, that's it. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Very good.
Yeah,
it's
okay,
a wonderful place in the neighborhood.
And did you want an update on the game? It just ended.
Oh, we know. Sadly.
Yeah, we lost.
Sadly.
Yeah.
Did they lose?
Yeah.
They
you
did.
Want an update?
Yeah.
Well, let's just put it this way. My hometown team won.
What was the final?
You're from Cleveland, so.
What was the final score?
93-89.
Oh,
yeah.
Well.
Wow.
Cheer up, everybody.
All right.
Always
Thanks.
Next year.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Greg. Bye-bye.
Yep. Well, good for Cleveland, though. They deserve
it. Well, they're a hard luck town, I guess.
That's the thing. You know, this is the first major athletic title they've won since 1964.
Really?
In any sport.
Oh, all right.
And the first team to come back from 3-1.
All right. Ever.
Please. Jerry's just being sympathetic. And very good. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
Well, originally I was calling with Wheaties, but
okay.
How about on the presidential non-autobiographies?
Yes.
Technically, George H.W. Bush did not, although he published letters, right?
Yeah, I'm counting that, though.
Oh, you are counting
I am.
That. Oh, okay, so, all right. He didn't. He said he didn't want to write an autobiography. He didn't like autobiographies or broccoli.
Yeah.
So then I have a question.
Okay.
What planet in the solar system has the word father in it, hidden?
Oh.
It's not in English, but it's there.
Oh, good. Appropriate
question. Oh, it's not in English. Oh.
Oh.
What language? Is it Latin or Greek?
Yes, Latin.
Latin.
Jupiter?
That's right. Do you know why?
Jupiter.
Yeah.
Do you know what the etymology is?
Because Jupiter is the head god, the father of all the other gods.
Basically, the Romans adopted the Greek gods, so with Father Zeus, or Deus Pater, which if you say that 10 times fast, by the 10th time you're saying Jupiter.
Yep.
Gotcha.
So it's Father Zeus.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, guys. It's Alec in San Francisco.
Hi. Oops. Sorry.
So I got a bell just for that.
Yeah, just for that.
So the only kid's realm that I have left is Wonderland.
That is correct. That
Yay!
Is one.
I told Pauline to say
I
that.
I know, but I said I got one
Wonderland.
On my own. I didn't want to get
I
it.
I understand that.
So, Pauline, I think that Farley Drexel Hatcher is Fudge.
Absolutely.
From Tales of the Fourth Grade Nothing.
Yes.
Excellent.
And many other Judy Blume books. Thank you.
Okay. And I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
This week it was announced that a certain entertainment organization had hired its first ever star from China. What organization was it?
I read that headline and can't remember.
Is it Disney?
It's not Disney.
Okay. What entertainment?
Well, they just opened Disney.
Yeah, I was just thinking there might be some connection. Entertainment organization. Organization.
It's a company.
Yeah.
It's a very successful company with a single specialized kind of entertainment.
Ooh. Oh. Oh, specialized kind of entertainment. No, we don't know.
It is World Wrestling Entertainment.
Oh,
first
wrestling.
Wrestler from the PRC, Mr. Bin Wong.
Oh.
Look for him on the small screen.
What happened to Baron Saito?
I think he retired.
Oh, okay.
Strangler Lewis.
Or Odd Job, yeah.
Strangler Lewis.
Strangler Lewis, yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Or Man Mountain Dean.
I remember that. I love the position. One was that it used to call a step over toe hold.
Step over toe hold.
I don't know if they still have that position, but I do remember that.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi, you're on. Go ahead, please.
Oh, they told me there were more calls. Yeah, I can't believe nobody. This is Kevin from Sunnyvale.
Hi, Kevin.
Paul McCartney's middle name is Paul. His given name is James Paul McCartney.
Oh,
very good.
Good question.
Trick
very
question.
Good.
There you go.
Tricky, but good.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hi.
Hello. I have one from Pauline's List.
Oh, yes.
Mad-Eye Moody is Alastair Moody.
Absolutely. From the Harry Potter.
Oh, Mad-Eye Moody. Okay, right. Okay. I should
have. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. I'm one of the few people that never read any of the Harry Potter books.
I'm also one.
All right. Well, I think the two living ones are in the room right now. And the next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom at Oakland again.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. First presidential bio?
Yes.
Get that already? And Grant?
No. Not Grant. It's actually before that.
Oh, shoot. And then first person on Wheaties?
Yes.
Gehrig.
Lou Gehrig.
Very good.
Excellent.
Lou Gehrig on the box, on the back.
On the back.
Back of the box.
Okay.
Encyclopedia Brown's first name was, it wasn't Doctor, was it?
No.
Become a soda maker, did he? And then I got, one other question. What state's governor wrote their state song?
Oh,
what song is it?
Louisiana. Is it Louisiana? I think it's Louisiana.
You
Are My Sunshine. Is it not You Are My Sunshine? It's
It is You Are My Sunshine.
You Are My Sunshine. Jimmy Rogers?
No,
Jimmy Rogers.
I know the fact, but I can't think of the name of the
Jimmy,
governor.
Yeah, who was it?
I want to say Davis, but that could be
wrong. You might be right. Jimmy Davis. Okay,
thanks.
All right, thank you. All right, one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
All right, I'll make it quick. It's Sparky again. Paul McCartney's favorite song, I believe, is Here, There, and Everywhere.
Oh, all right.
Yes, correct. I'm being told.
Thank you.
Give the thumbs up. Say hi, May.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right, time to clean up here. What do we got?
Okay,
Jerry?
I asked what two songs end every Beach Blanket Babylon show. Dana got San Francisco. The other one is Happy Trails to You.
Oh,
all right.
We meet again.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense,
okay.
Yeah.
So Encyclopedia Brown's first name is Leroy. Sticky Washington's first name is George. Ted Shackelford is the man in the yellow hat from Curious George series. Oscar Zoroaster, Frederick Isaac, Norman Henkel, Emmanuel Ambroise Diggs is the Wizard of Oz.
Oh,
and I think that's it.
All right. Oh, I should have Oscar Zoroaster. I should have remembered
that
name. Let's see. In a survey of the towns or places where adults from children's books that adults once wanted to live, the ones nobody got, the Shire, that's from The Hobbit, and Whoville from Whoville from Dr.
I
Seuss.
I knew there was a Seuss place.
Yeah, you figured there was.
What is the Shire?
The Shire is from The Hobbit.
Oh, how do you spell it?
S-H-I-R-E. Okay. The first president to write an autobiography was Martin Van Buren.
Oh.
Martin Van Buren. And the last president not to write an autobiography that did not die in office was Woodrow Wilson.
Okay.
Woodrow Wilson. If we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly enjoy bringing it to you. With the panel tonight, well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman, teacher and photographer Pauline Teichman. Thank you, Pauline. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to David Latulipe and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And, of course, our great thanks to you for tuning in and calling in. Have a great Father's Day, everybody.
Wow.
And tomorrow's another day. as far as the Warriors go.
We're still pro Warriors.
Yeah, yep, yep.
I can't believe
thank them
lost
for a great season.
But if I do, I don't follow through, because my heart belongs to Dad. If I invite a boy some night to dine on my fine Finn and Hattie, I just adore his asking for more, cause my heart belongs to Dad.
We'd like to thank a few of the local businesses that provided culinary treats and volunteers during our last membership drive, including Casa Sanchez for chips and their famous salsas and guacamole, and Sibby's Cupcakery for freshly baked filled cupcakes. Next time you visit, please thank them for supporting KALW. You can find links to these and all our food donors on our website, kalw.org. This is KALW San Francisco.